Do they know I'm black?
Should they?
You might wanna, you know.
Mom and Dad, my black boyfriend will be coming up this weekend. I just don't want you to be shocked that he's a black man.
Hello and welcome to episode 150 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
150, yay, let's just celebrate that for a moment. And we have a great 150th episode for you today. We're going to discuss our hot topic first, and it's Oscar weekend, so naturally that is going to be our Oscar pick section, when we're going to root for some of the things we're most excited about, and then we're going to roll into our big review of the weekend. It is a review of Jordan Peele's movie, Get Out. So first up, Oscar picks. I'm kicking that one off, so obviously, the Oscars are this weekend, and if you've heard me talk about the Oscars for even a minute, you could probably guess that I am rooting for La La Land in every category. But right now, I'm just going to talk about Best Picture because I'm very into my Oscar pool, so I want to win it no matter what. So it's partially because of this, but I am such a big fan of La La Land, and everything is just shaping up so, so well for my prediction that it's going to win Best Picture to pan out, that if that doesn't win Best Picture at this point, I might just drop dead. It's my number one movie of 2016. I adore it. I've watched it, I don't even know how many times. I know I've seen it in the theater 5 times, but I have been listening to that soundtrack on repeat. It is just, it is kind of the ultimate, I was going to call it the ultimate feel-good movie, but the ultimate bittersweet feel-good movie. It's just every time I watch it, my reaction to certain things just never changes. I can keep watching it. I can keep listening to the music. I want it to win everything, but above all else, this movie needs that Best Picture, that Best Picture Oscar, and I don't think it's going to go any other way. I think it really does have it in the bag. All right, what is your pick?
I was going to say, I am rooting for Moonlight, but after hearing Perry say she will drop dead if La La Land does not win Best Picture, I mean, I like Moonlight. I also really want Perry to live.
Yeah.
So
you should take my threats very seriously.
This is really the coldest way to get me on Team La La Land ever, because I'm definitely Team Moonlight.
Yeah, wow, that was, you really just brought the
Perry
big
went
guns
cake
there,
or death.
Perry.
That's what happened here.
Talk about ride or die.
Yeah, Perry's a ride or die La La Land bitch. That's what just happened here.
If we're looking if we're looking at predictions, La La Land has the PGA award. It is shaping up to be your best bet if you're participating in an Oscar pool. I'm not saying Moonlight is not a great film as well, but I think La La has it locked.
Yeah, probably. And also now I'm going to root for Lala so that you can stay alive when we can get to episode 151.
It's very nice of you. Thank you.
So mine is actually also, the one I'm going to talk about is also, I think, the favorite to win. I am really rooting for Viola Davis to win Best Supporting Actress for Fences. Okay, so first of all, yes, I do agree that it's kind of bullshit she's competing in the supporting category, because she's like, when you look at who else she's up against and when you look at her role in the movie, you're just like, I mean, maybe she should have been lead. But, you know, given that she's supporting this category, like, I can't, I mean, it's a really strong category. There's a lot of great people in it. You know, Naomi Harris from Moonlight is in it, Octavia Spencer from Hidden Figures, Michelle Williams from Manchester by the Sea, and Nicole Kidman from Lion, which I did not watch, so I have no opinion on that one. But the rest of them, in any other year, I think I'd be like, yeah, this is great. But Viola Davis, when I was watching Fences, like, she has this big monologue, and if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what scene I mean. And it was a scene where, like, halfway through, I realized I had just stopped breathing. Like, I just, like, suddenly was like, and I was like, oh my god, like, I hadn't, like, it's just, like, it was a performance that, like, physically affected me. We've known for years that she's a fantastic actress, but, like, yeah, just based even on the strength of that one scene, I can't imagine this going to anyone else, and I can't imagine rooting for it to go to anyone else.
I think she definitely deserves the win. However, if it does go to anyone else, I think I'm rooting for Naomi Harris. She is good.
Okay.
She's
good
and borderline haunting in Moonlight. But, you know, Fences is one of those movies where I don't want to knock Denzel's work as a director, because I think that movie is great across the board. But that is also an example of something that is elevated to such an extreme because of the lead performances.
Yeah, my pick is probably, I think, honestly, at this point, not going to win because La La Land is nominated in every fucking category and it's nominated twice in Best Song, which you might think might split the vote, but keep in mind that La La Land's songs that are nominated are all about how great Hollywood is, one being City of Stars and the other being Audition, The Fools Who Dream. I'm rooting for How Far I'll Go with Lin-Manuel Miranda because, one, loved Hamilton, two, loved Moana, three, I'm furious that if any movie this year got multiple songs nominated, how was it not Moana? How do we not have The Rock performing You're Welcome at the Oscars? It's a travesty. It is a travesty, and I'm super pissed about it. But if Lin-Manuel Miranda manages to overcome all this La La Land hype, he could get an EGOT, which would be super rad. And also just, he gives the best speeches. Like, La La Land, even if they win, should let Lin-Manuel Miranda give the speeches because the dude just is sunshine in human form.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get an EGOT someday. Like, I'm absolutely confident of it. Unless an asteroid hits the Earth, like, right after the Oscars this year, I'm confident he's going to get an EGOT in his lifetime. But yeah, how great would it be if it was this year? He's just coming off of, like, what's got to be the best year of his career and probably the best year anyone could ever have. So yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one.
No, I'll agree
too. As much as I like La La Land.
I love La La Land too, and I would never take those nominations away from it. Oh, clear. You knew I loved La La
Land,
right?
Don't threaten to die again, Perry.
No.
Jesus Christ.
I won't.
This episode goes long every time we talk about fucking La La Land, because I'm like, ugh, La La Land. And then Perry's like, let me explain to you at length why La La Land is way better than Christie says.
Burst my bubble, why don't you? But anyway, if I had picked any other movie but Moana to get more than one Oscar nomination for original song, it would have been Sing Street.
Right?
So
it's insane Sing Street's not even nominated.
La La Land, Moana, and Sing Street, that should have dominated the original song category. Yeah. All right.
But instead we have Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls.
What? Oh, okay, how about this? We can all agree we're not for fucking rooting against Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls.
There we
so
go.
So now we can all end on a note we all agree on.
I can be on that team. All right, so that is our little discussion, our little Oscar preview for you. Now we're going to move on to our review. Christy, tell us about Get Out.
All right, so Get Out is a horror movie from Jordan Peele, and this is the IMDb plot synopsis. A young African-American man visits his Caucasian girlfriend's mysterious family estate. That's accurate, but I love that IMDb, where everybody else is using the terms white and black in reviews, like, IMDb is like, African-American and Caucasian. It's like, fine, whatever. Anyway, this is from Jordan Peele, who is most known for Key and Peele and the movie Keanu. He's a comedian. He does, like, satire and silly stuff. And so when he said, I'm doing a horror movie, a lot of people were like, what the fuck? But, like, if you watched Key and Peele, there were always these, like, hints that he really knew his shit about horror because there were really good like, parodies of it. But this is not a parody movie. I would say that you could call this, like, a horror comedy, but it's not like it's playing with the form like Shaun of the Dead does or, like, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. It is a horror movie that has moments of levity, but in a really earned way. Like, it just, it feels like a movie where it gets to have these different movements and motions, and I think that's great because I feel like when a movie is unrelentingly one tone, it gets boring no matter what that tone is. So I am absolutely in love with this movie. I think that it's incredibly smart and funny, and there's a lot of nods to movies like Deliverance and The Stepford Wives and Night of the Living Dead, and they're really subtle. So it's not like fan service nonsense where it's like, you know, did you get it? Did you get it? But if you did get it, I feel like it tweaks your expectations. Like, I was riveted and terrified. And there was actually a part in this movie where something caught me so off guard that I pulled my arms back protectively but forgot I had a notebook in them. So I basically, like, gut punched myself with my critic's notebook. Yeah, that's a real thing that happened. And then Joe Reed laughed hysterically at me. We were watching together. But yeah, I think this is outstanding. And I think part of what makes it so great is the performances. But I'm going to let you guys weigh in before I just go on everything that is amazing about this.
Oh, yeah, I'm surprised that you found it that scary, because actually when I came out, I was like, I mean, it's a good horror movie, it is scary, it's creepy, but I didn't find it to be terrifying in the same way that something like The Ring or The Babadook or Under the Shadow was scary. But what is really effective about it is that the scares in it come from a really real recognizable place. Like, a lot of the parts that I was the most tense and anxious were times where, like, nothing was happening that seemed like horror movie-ish. It wasn't like a jump scare, it wasn't like a weird shadow or anything. It was just the way people talked to him, that, like, kind of, like, really unsettling feeling of, like, I was just so uncomfortable for a lot of it. And you know, and I mean that as a compliment, because I think that's exactly what the movie was going for. And that, more than, like, anything that was really, like, scary or creepy or horror-y, is what really just stuck with me. Like, I think that he does such a good job of, I mean, we've talked, you know, just to go back to some of the other films I've mentioned, like The Babadook, like, we've talked about how that one really takes, you know, an experience that, you know, is a real-life experience that people have, and kind of processes it through the horror genre. And I feel like Jordan Peele does such a good job of doing that with, you know, with racial relations in America. And it's not, and what's interesting about it is that a lot, like, the movie isn't so much about just, like, it's not, the kind of racism that he wants to talk about in this movie isn't just, like, you know, really clear-cut, evil, bad people racism. It's a lot of, like, those really odd, uncomfortable, awkward moments where, like, you know, it, like, you're, like, you see so much of Chris kind of trying to make the white people around him comfortable because he knows that how fucked he is if he can't. Like, it's a lot of, like, little things like that.
Yeah, that's, like, people intruding about his sex life and assuming he's good at athletics and stuff. The kind of microaggressions that, like, I know a lot of people are like, but that's not really racist. And, like, it is. It's just not on the same level of, like, throwing out slurs.
Yeah, although there's some pretty bad stuff there, too. Sorry, Perry?
I just can't wait to see what Jordan Peele does from here. I just can't believe... how good he is at directing a movie. I mean, you guys brought up a whole bunch of other movies that, you know, Get Out takes a little something from this or is kind of like that. I mean, people keep throwing out, it's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets the Stepford Wives. And, you know, that's a pretty fair comparison. But at the same time, he makes it his own, which is really exciting. He uses all these great classics as influences, yet he made a movie that it really feels like he is the only person that could have told this story this way. He is the only person that could have directed it this way. And also, he cast a whole bunch of people in this that are so, so good. I don't think any of these characters would have been the same if anybody else was in the role. Holy shit, I have a huge crush on Daniel Kaluuya. I could look at him all day. It's just like there's some sort of expression on his face where he doesn't have to say anything, but something about his performance in this movie completely sucks you in, which is incredibly important given the plot details that I'm not going to address right now. But you need to be in his head from start to finish throughout this movie.
Also, it's crazy to me that he's English. When I saw the Junket stuff, I was like, what? Because...
yeah, I knew him from when he was on Skins, the British TV show. And then he was on Black Mirror also.
Right.
He's the 15 million credits guy. So, like, I knew he was British, but it's still, like, when you watch it, you would never know.
His American accent was so good that I was like, oh, right. I was going to say that I really thought the entire cast was really fantastic because you have people like Catherine Keener and Bradley Whitford, who we've seen in other things, who are such strong actors, and the way they play with their kind of persona and then roll with the tone of this movie is really fantastic. But for me, the standout is something you see in the trailers, and not even, I'm actually going to say don't watch the trailers because a new trailer just came out that I think gives away way too much. So just go see this movie. Don't look at the trailers. But one of the early trailers involved a scene where he makes a joke to one of the black household servants at this white estate and says, like, you know, I get nervous when there's too many white people, you know what I mean? And she says, no, 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 no. And she just keeps saying no, and it's like, it sounds like she's having a breakdown, but her face is smiling, but she's crying, and it's so upsetting.
I just tweeted about that, actually, right before we came on, because I was just like, she does more with the word no in 10 seconds than I have seen a lot of actors do with, like, entire monologues, you know? Like, it's... like that was one of the tensest moments in the movie. And again, it's not like anything really bad happens at that exact moment, but just watching it is so uncomfortable. But while we're talking about the casting, I also want to say Allison Williams in this is, first of all, she's very good in it, but even more than that, like, it's I think this movie does such a good job of using the image that you have of Allison Williams, like what she represents, like what she is in our culture, like, you know, the kind, like, she's a perfect stand-in for the kind of like well-meaning, like waspy white girl, right. And it's
the kind of girl, like, who says like, no, my dad's totally gonna be fine that I'm dating a black guy. He voted for Obama twice and would totally have done it a third time.
Yeah, it's just such a perfect marriage of, like, you know, an act, like, her performance is really good, you know, like, the casting is really perfect, like, you know, her star image could not be more ideal for the, it, like, I, yeah, and she's, and you can tell she's just really having fun with this role, which also, I think, counts for a lot.
Totally. I just want to throw out that it was Betty Gabriel who plays the maid, because I didn't say her name, and I want to say she's amazing. I was just knocked back by her.
Keith Stanfield is also so quite good. As well, he's good in everything. The first thing I ever saw him in was Short Term 12, yeah. And he is exceptional in that movie. But he's someone who he's been in a whole bunch of things, and almost every single thing he's in, I believe, or at least the things that are coming to mind, are roles that, you know, they don't give him all that much screen time. But he's always one of the most memorable things about the movie, and that is most certainly the case with Get Out. He's great here.
I feel like any movie that Keith Stanfield is in, my biggest complaint when I walk out is not enough Keith Stanfield.
Yeah, I think is he going by LaKeith now, though?
Oh, yes,
I think
right,
he's going
sorry.
By LaKeith. Yeah,
because
LaKeith, I'm just
I think,
used
when
to
he went
Keith.
By his first couple of films.
Speaking of actors who I don't know what name they're going by, Lil Rel, who plays Daniel Kaluuya's friend, the TSA agent in this movie,
yeah.
He is excellent.
Yeah,
he's like
so
the Carmichael
good.
Show.
He's kind of the main way they bring humor into the movie, and it's not the only way, but it's kind of whenever he's on screen, you can kind of breathe as an audience member because you kind of have a break from the tension. But the guy who plays him, it's so smart and funny, and like, the audience I saw this movie with loved him and ate it up. And every time he was on screen, like, people were cheering and shouting and laughing. And like,
it's also comedy that serves the story
totally.
Really well. So it's not just laughs for the sake of laughs,
right.
Or just to lift the tension for a little. He's an important character, just as important as anyone else is. And that's the best kind of comedy.
And he's the audience stand-in. Like, you know, like, when you're watching a horror movie and you're like, what the fuck are
yeah.
you doing? Get the fuck out of there. Like, he's the guy that is kind of just,
and
like, doing that for you.
Because he starts off saying stuff to his friend like, you shouldn't go to this place. It's super weird. And say, like, he starts throwing out, like, conspiracy theories, like, at the jump. And his friend's like, that's crazy. And then what's like, and it's, but it's true, because when you're watching a horror movie, you already know you're watching a horror movie. So when they're like, oh, that weird thing in the basement's probably nothing. You're like, dude, it's totally something. But you have the advantage because you know you're in a horror movie. So that's what's so fun about that character, is like, he lives his life because he is a TSA agent. Like, everybody is suspect. So like, when literally anything happens, he starts spinning all these crazy stories. But in this instance, he's not wrong. And it's so much fun to watch that.
This has to be the most flattering portrayal of TSA agents I've ever seen in a movie.
Hardcore.
So if you're a TSA agent, you should definitely watch this movie. But actually, that's a good
Jordan
segue
Peele's
to go
never
into
gonna
spoilers.
Get flagged to TSA again. They're going to roll out a carpet for him and be like, go ahead, sir. You can keep your fingernail clippers on this flight.
All right, yeah. It's time to talk some spoilers. So before we cut people off who do not want to hear these spoilers, is it an across the board,
you
go see this movie ASAP?
You should absolutely see this movie,
mm-hmm.
And you should see it
yep.
in theaters. One, because we want to see more movies like this that are this daring and this amazing. And two, because this is such a good movie to watch with an audience that's into
yep.
it. Like, it's one of those experiences that you're not going to forget.
Absolutely agreed on
sure.
all counts.
Okay, so the time has come. We are going to talk Get Out spoilers. If you do not want to know these plot spoilers, have a good one. See you next week. Bye-bye. All right, that's it. Spoiler alert over. Who wants to kick this off?
So what I like is that in the trailers, you think you know what's going on with this world, but then they make it so much more complicated. And, like, introducing, like, it's not just brainwashing, you know? It's, like, literally brain surgery. And when you realize that these black people cannot reclaim their bodies from the white people who have basically been implanted in their heads, like, it makes everything that you saw in the first hour upsetting all over again.
Can I just say, like, after I saw the entire movie, the next day I, like, was watching a YouTube video and it was prefaced by, like, an ad for this movie. So then I ended up watching basically most of the trailer again. And I was just like, holy shit, this plays so differently and so much more fucking creepy now that I know what actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, I actually really want to see it again
for that reason. And yeah. Those scenes where when she hypnotizes him and he can't do anything. Just the way that was shot, that going back to his performance again, that made me 10 times more uncomfortable than seeing the most evil slasher running around with like a knife or body parts getting chopped up or whatnot.
How calmly,
that kind of feeling of helplessness freaks me out to no end.
And how calmly she's like, you're in the, what did she call it? The sunken place. And like,
I keep wanting to call it the upside down.
Yeah, he falls into the upside down.
Catherine Keener and Bradley Whitford are so freaky. There's one shot in this movie of the two of them, and they're standing in the living room, and they're just looking. It's kind of like towards the end, and it's just like when you know what they're capable of, you know what they've done, and the way that they're lit and the expressions on their face. I mean, that is just like a portrait of a nightmare right there.
It's amazing. They do such an incredible job. And like, I had a hard time writing my review because in the trailer, I saw Alison Wilmar with a rifle, but because of the way they cut the trailer, I thought she was going to take his side. And when it's revealed that she is not on his side, like, she handles that twist so effectively. And one of my favorite jokes in the movie is that they, like, show her after she thinks he's, like, gone to the world. She's in her room, dressed like a Gap ad, with this, like, white button-down shirt and crisp khaki pants hanging out in her room in khakis like you do. And she is eating, what is it, Fruit Loops without milk, but then drinking milk in a glass with a straw while looking up other black dudes that she can basically do this to. And I was just, like, dying. It was like the details were so specific, and I was just in tears. Like, Jordan Peele has such an eye for setting up iconography. Like, he made a teacup really terrifying.
Ooh, yeah, no, I'm never drinking tea with anyone again. You never know what they're doing to you while they're stirring in their sugar and milk. I mean, yeah, like the very first time that she hypnotized him, that was one of the most disturbing parts in the movie because, you know, like, as Perry said, there's a lot of, like, you know, it's just watching that happen to someone, like, you know, go in their heads and, like, mess with it is creepy, but just, like, the way she robs him of his agency, the way that speaks to, like, the things that white people have done to black bodies for, like, all of history. Yeah. Like, you know, it's really disturbing. And then, like, and it's actually a good way that the movie kind of segues into it because it seems kind of harmless, like, in a way. It's not harmless, but the next day he's kind of like, I mean, I think she was just trying to get me to quit smoking. It's like he's in that place, and then you're kind of in the same place where you're just like, something's really wrong, but he's trying so desperately to tell himself and that it's fine, that he can handle it.
What I thought was so cool about it is, it reminded me of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the whole thing that's scary is that you're surrounded by these people who say they're your family and friends, but in their heart of hearts, they are working against you. And I feel like in the wake of the election, a lot of us are feeling that way. Like, I feel like particularly probably black people, but like, you know, I feel that way too, because when I saw the numbers that came back on that election, I was like, shit, 53% of white women like me, voted in a way that I find preposterous. And so, like, I said at the time, I said, I think you're going to start seeing horror movies that are very much about this idea of you don't know who your friends are. And this just timed out well. I mean, I do think that Jordan Peele had a good sense of kind of what the social structure, the social criticism was going in, but it plays so well to this moment in time. But beyond that, if you're one of those people that don't like to critical think while you watch a movie, it's still really scary and really entertaining. So, like, on whatever level you enjoy horror movies, I think you should absolutely see Get Out.
That's one of my favorite features of this movie is that, I mean, anyone can watch it any way they want. This movie has something to offer absolutely everyone. And just briefly, this has nothing to do with spoilers, but I'm going to be kicking myself if I don't mention this. The score in this is absolutely incredible, along the lines of how I think the Insidious score defines the scares and the tone of that movie. I think his name is Michael Abels. I think he achieved the same thing here. I actually think this might be his first feature as well. It is his first feature.
Wow.
So, holy shit, first features, Jordan Peele as a director and Michael Abels as a composer, because I'm floored by this movie. It's one of my favorite movies of the year now.
I think legit Betty Gabriel could get an Oscar nomination next year because it, no, I know it's super rare. Angie's giving me crazy face. But think about Rosemary's Baby, the supporting actress in that. She got and won the Oscar. Like, it's not it's not impossible. Okay.
All right. So, and any final words of encouragement to get people out to see Get Out?
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. That, like, never fucking happens.
With, like, 93 reviews in the last time I checked.
Because, like, usually, 93 critics around the globe have all been like, no, this is amazing. This is fresh.
Yep. So, clearly, we highly recommend Get Out. All right, and that's it. That's all the time we got for you this week. You guys know what to do. Please go on over to iTunes where you can rate, comment, and subscribe. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We also have our Twitter handle, @popcornprosecco. We are on Facebook as well. Please go and like us there. And then all three of us are all over the interwebs. Christy, you want to take it first?
Yeah, you can find me all over the internet, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com. My review for Get Out is on CBR, and I'm on Twitter @ChristyPuchko. That's KristyPuchko.
And Angie?
You can find me on Twitter @AJHAN, and you can find my writing @slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me @PNemiroff on Twitter and Instagram. I write for Collider.com. I'm on the Collider Videos YouTube channel. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great weekend, a happy Oscar night. We'll see you soon.